This is an RNZ podcast.
If trauma is openly discussed, it's not trauma anymore. For trauma, the true nature is its unspeakability, which makes people hide it in their heart or in their mind until it becomes something really that plagues people a lot.
Dr. Yuan Yuan Liang's niche is analysing the trauma aspect of one of New Zealand's most celebrated authors, Margaret Mahe. It's a fascination that brought her from Beijing to Wellington, aside from one other big draw card.
Mum, like, suggested sending me abroad to study, and then I said I would want to go to the safest country in the world, which is New Zealand. That's the fundamental reason for me to be here, yes.
Dr. Liang earlier this year just finished her PhD on the subject, and it happens to be the most wide-ranging academic study to acknowledge and analyse the trauma aspect of characters in Mahe's writing. Welcome to Voices, I'm Kadambri Raghukumar. Dr. Liang's study attempts to highlight the depth and complexity of Mahe's treatments of her protagonist's trauma, from bereavement to bullying and more common traumatic conditions, sibling rivalry, broken families.
The choice of the author, Margaret Mahe, is a writer of international renown. So after deciding to study in New Zealand, and then I started like searching for the real gems, it's quite hard to detect that traumatic tone from the very beginning. But once you finish reading the whole thing, you will find that, oh, something's not quite right. I just picked it up pretty naturally. For some reason, I cannot explain.
Dr. Liang writes in her study about Mahe's fantastical stories and imaginative ways in which the protagonist's key traumas aren't exactly put in the foreground, but are sort of backstories in another time. More on that later. But first, how did Dr. Liang get into this really niche area of study?
Back in China, as a high school student, you don't have much time for entertaining reading. It's more about preparing for the entrance examination. Mm-hmm. So back then, I didn't have much time reading. I've always been a lover of Chinese literature, especially the ancient Chinese poems. So my passion for literature has always been there, whether it's English or Chinese.
But it was during her master's in Beijing that she first got hooked onto young adult literature.
All started from Oscar Wilde. I remember it was a course taught in the IMA study, and it's the biblical traditions in the Western literature or something like that. And then the lecturer sent us a file compiling a collection of essays about different authors' attitude towards the Bible. And I just happened to find Oscar Wilde, finding this man really unconventional, his interesting thoughts about the Bible. And then all of a sudden, I took an interest in Wilde, and then I started browsing like his literary portfolio, finding that fairy tale actually is the area least explored. So I say, oh, maybe this could be my research niche. That's how I began to be hooked by Oscar Wilde's fairy tales. Oscar's fairy tales are very different. Because they don't moralize in the most conventional way. The moral is always delivered upside down. When you study fairy tale from a literary point of view, you will find that it's actually very complex. There has been a large volume of like scholarship focusing on trauma in young adult literature. I think like someone wrote a thesis or dissertation on the trauma in Harry Potter. And then like Holocaust in children's literature, it's another big area.
But Dr. Liang's work is unique in that it deals with a rarely looked at aspect of what's otherwise an entertaining narrative. To quote from her thesis synopsis, "Beneath her entertaining narrative tone, however, Mahi deals with the darker realities of everyday life." This thesis argues that trauma is a key feature of Mahi's young adult fiction. Here's an example.
The character called Anthea from Dangerous Spaces, a novel published in 1991. We are told she loses her parents, who died in a sort of yachting accident. And then Anthea has to move into her cousin Flora's home with a really large house, beautiful decoration. But the cousin Flora's place is quite different.
So basically the story revolves around Anthea's ghostly nightmares, where she finds some objects that belong to her great-uncle Henry, who died tragically at a young age. Coupled with the stresses of relocating into a cousin's home and dealing with her parents' loss, Anthea is a case in point for Liang's study.
Just to give an example of the complexity of the trauma that Mahi's character has to deal with. So one young girl, three huge, small stressors. But this is only one of the examples. When I first started doing the project, of course I saw lots of trauma plaguing lots of characters. And then my supervisor said, you should try to layer things out. We've got big traumas, small traumas, and how these traumas work together to weave a web of trauma. Or maybe let's call it like trauma palace. I stole the term from Sherlock Holmes, who is so good at exploring his, what's it called, memory palace, isn't it?
Yeah.
So this is traumatic memory palace with a trauma palace.
It may seem that Dr. Liang gets a lot of joy from delving into this not-so-joyous area of study, but she also doesn't seem to be a sort of person to shy away from looking under the hood, as it were.
It's like something you have to repress. You don't want to confront because a memory is just too painful. Once you are brave enough to look at yourself, certain parts of yourself, maybe that's a first step to deal with a problem. But most of the time, including myself sometimes, we escape from the thing, trying to divert or take a detour, because to confront the painful memory is suffering. And sometimes the little stressors can be the last straw, destroying people's psyche. So I think I'm pretty resilient. I'm pretty resilient, and then I can handle things, whether in literature or in life.
Yuan Liang currently works as a postgraduate advisor and seems to draw, unsurprisingly, from her experience and study.
Doing a postgrad study can be traumatizing. You have to multitask. And as an international student, you may have to deal with lots of like complex stuff like visa extension, which can be the last straw. And the situation may be back home, because some of the students got trapped when they traveled back to their home country. These are the things you have to deal with. I mean, apart from doing a study, you have to deal with as an international post-grad student. But studying Mahi's trauma fiction reminds me, like, well, there will always be a solution to a problem. And if there is a problem, and normally there would be a solution paired with more than one solution. So I think the fact that trauma and solution are strange bedfellows can be a really good advice I can offer to the newly enrolled postgrad students. Yeah, but I do hope that they wouldn't have to deal with the traumatic aspect of the postgrad study.
Dr. Liang looks forward to seeing where her study leads others interested in Mahi's work, the complexity of her characters, and most of all, the author's deft and delicate handling of the magnitude of trauma.
one of the lessons I acquire from reading Mahi's novel is the ubiquity of trauma. All of us deal with trauma. It makes her work really popular. She is a really sophisticated writer.
It's been 10 years since Margaret Mahi died in July 2012, but clearly her work continues to inspire and intrigue. And that's Voices this week with me, Kadambri Raghukumar. Many thanks to Dr. Yuan Yuan Liang for talking to me. Every week, I meet people from all around the world who call New Zealand home. So if you like what you hear, follow us on Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio, and all your favorite podcast apps. You can also find us on the RNZ website. And go on, give us a follow on the Instagram page, that's RNZ_voices, and on Facebook with the same name. Today's episode was mixed by Jeremy Ansell, and I'm Kadambri Raghukumar. Thanks for listening.